Leviticus chapter 16. Let's pray. Our loving Father, thank you for the privilege of opening your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary, that we could be redeemed and belong to you for all eternity. Have the assurance, Lord, that the price has been paid and we'll be with you. And now we look to you, Lord, as we open this chapter, that you would guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit and feed our souls with your precious word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come just at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with a linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on." Here is a chapter that tells us how we can approach God. Now, of course, these are physical things. This is the Jewish religion. We're not Jews. And even if I was born Jewish, my blessings now are not on the basis of my family, but of the blood of Christ on the cross. We belong to Christ now. We're Christians. We belong to him. We've been saved by his blood on the cross. And our blessings come by the finished work of Christ. But you see, God hasn't changed. From Genesis to Revelation, God hasn't changed. And we can see in these details here something of our blessings. Aaron had four sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu brought fire for the incense into the presence of God that they did not get from the burnt altar of burnt offering. And they died. Both of them died in the holy place. Now, if They brought blood here, of course. Verse 14, they brought blood in. But if we were to examine the DNA of that blood, we would find out whether it was blood from the offering of the goat or the bull, or whether it was just simply from some other animal. But Nadab and Abihu said, "Who's ever going to trace fire? Fire is fire. I don't think the best scientists today could tell whether that fire came from the altar of burnt offering or just two sticks that they rubbed together to make fire. What does it matter?" But it does matter to God, because the basis of our blessing is not only the manger in Bethlehem. It's not only Jesus walking through this poor world and healing the sick, raising the dead, and opening eyes of the blind. It's Jesus who offered up himself on the cross for us. It's that offering that is the basis of our blessing. And if it were not for that offering, that finished offering of Christ on the cross, we couldn't sing praises to God. God would say, "Well, you're sinners." It'd be like Adam covered with fig leaves. God sent him out of the garden. What God wanted from Adam was repentance, and all he did was blame Eve. Now, he didn't deny what he did because he couldn't, but he blamed Eve for it, and that's not repentance. Repentance is when we point right here and say, "It's not my wife's fault, it's not my environment or my parents, it's my fault. I shouldn't have done that." And they offered fire before the Lord, and it doesn't say in verse 1 where they got the fire. That doesn't matter. The point was that it wasn't from the altar of burnt offering. And we have had the privilege on that table of remembering the Lord and his death, and we look back to that time when he offered up himself. Now, Aaron had only four sons. Two are dead. He only two more. And if they get careless and do something else, as we find here in verse 13, they'll die too. And now God has chosen Aaron to be high priest and his sons to be high, one of his sons to be high priest. And if those other two die, then God's purposes are frustrated. And we know, of course, that cannot be. God will fulfill his word. And so in verse 2 here, God says, tell Aaron, don't come just at any time, only once a year. And gives him the whole chapter 16 here, 34 verses, to explain how he was to come to the presence of the Lord. Because there was a golden box in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies. It was a wooden box covered all over with gold. The wood reminds us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem as a man. Wood grows, and so Jesus grew as a humble baby, and then as a child, and then as a man here in this world. He grew here in this world. But that box was completely covered with gold. And because gold cannot be stained with anything, neither lemon juice or if you have a gold ring, you can work with lemon juice or peach juice or whatever you're working with. Gold doesn't stain. Copper does, but gold doesn't. And that's a sign that Jesus grew up here in this wicked world. He was insulted. He saw defilement of every kind. All he had to do was touch the leper, and the leper was healed. And so that wooden box was covered all over with gold, and on the top of the box was the mercy seat. Now, mercy is what we need from God, withholding the punishment we deserve. And verse 2, tell your brother not to come just at any time into the holy place. Now, if I were living in these days and I said, Aaron, you know, I've got a really bad headache. I'm not feeling well and I need to attend to my children. I really would like you to go into the holy place and ask God for mercy. I really have things I need to do today, and I'm just not well enough to do them. Aaron would have to say, sorry, it's not the time to go in the holy place. I can only go there once a year, and you'll just have to wait till next year. Now we, through the blood of Christ, can come in right now. You know, right there where you're sitting, you can enter into the Holy of Holies. And say, Lord, you know, I want to read your word for the rest of this meeting, but I'm just not feeling well. I leave myself in your hands of love and care. Well, we have blessings, of course, that Aaron never had. God has brought us into light. Life and immortality have been brought to light by the gospel. Years ago, an old brother in Canada was getting really, really attacked by a Jewish religion, Seventh-day Adventists. And they have their meetings on Saturday, and they say that they follow the law. Of course, they don't. None of us have ever followed the law. Not one person in this room can raise their hand and say, I never told a lie to my mother. I never tried to get out of trouble when I was to blame. We're sinners, and we need the blood of Christ to save us from our sins. And this man was pushing him into a corner and saying, you know, you're giving up the law, you're giving up the word of God. And the brother turned to that verse in Timothy. Life and immortality have been brought to light by the gospel. I've been in the light too long, and I'm not going back to the dark. Now, when we read this chapter, of course, we're not going back to the dark. We're standing on the foundation stone of the blood of Christ on the cross, and we're looking at these things, I hope, and saying, God hasn't changed. And here in these details, we find something of Christ. And so, verse 4, holy linen tunic and linen trousers. Is there anything in verse 4? Is there any other cloth or any other color other than linen? It's mentioned over and over again. All his clothes were to be linen. You know, I taught for many years, and I've asked my children very often, why do I have this color of pants on? Why do I not wear white clothes? Why did I specially buy this jacket And, you know, my pants are almost the color of dust. And they say, so you won't get dirty. Every child answers the same thing, so you won't get dirty. It's so you won't see the dirt. My coat could be just as dirty as a white coat, but you don't see it. That's why most of us in this room wear clothes of different colors. You know, flax is a very, very white thread. It's longer than cotton. Cotton is short. Flax is long. And when you weave that flax into a coat, it has a shine to it. It is a beautiful, beautiful cloth. Linen is a beautiful cloth. And verse 4 here, there's a beauty here. And this is Christ. You know, in Colossians it says, we put off the old man and put on the new man. This is things we're wearing here, not just to come into this room and share in the breaking of bread. These are things we wear every day. And there's a beauty to the love of Christ that will also show up if something's wrong. I visited a family this week, and they were yelling at each other, and I said to one of the girls, you're going to send me to the insane asylum. I was speaking in Spanish, but I said, when I'm in the insane asylum, will you come and visit me? Oh, yeah, I will. You just can't live yelling at each other and fighting all the time. The children don't eat well. They don't grow well. You know, if I took you there and showed you that girl, you would say, oh, she's 5 years old. She's 8. You just can't live being yelled at all the time. We've got to have, in verse 4, we've got to have beauty. You know, they asked me at the jail, could you come on Sunday morning? It's just too expensive to bring the boys to the chapel any other time. We don't have the help. We don't have the manpower, because they always have to be supervised and they always have to be ready with pepper spray and handcuffs and leg shackles. Could you come on Sunday morning? And I said, I just don't think I can. And I thought it over afterwards. You know, it's nice to see all these boys together in the chapel. They're singing there. When I visit them in maximum security, we can't sing. There's so much noise, and I have to speak to them through the little port and the door. But I just don't think I can do without the breaking of bread. We've got to have something beautiful in our lives. We just need, you know, God has given us art and music and beautiful flowers and trees and singing. Now, of course, when we sing here, we're not singing for ourselves. We're singing for the Lord, but it is a beautiful time for us. I don't think I could survive without it. And here in verse 4, holy linen tunic, linen trousers, linen sash, linen turban, that's on the head, wound around his head. These are the holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. You see, it's not only blood here, it's water as well. From Jesus' side came out blood and water. The blood to cleanse us from our sins, and water to cleanse our minds from the daily preoccupation with sin. I had a friend when I was a teenager, Christian friend. We were good friends. Well, right from birth. We lived not too far away. We went bicycle riding together, and we broke bread together, and we did all kinds of things, 5 or 6 of us sometimes, together. And I phoned him up the other day and said, how are you? Not doing very well. What's the matter? Tell me about it. He said, I'm thinking about my sins. I'm afraid I'm not going to heaven. I've stopped going to the breaking of bread because I'm afraid I'm not saved. I'm just spending time thinking about my sins. He's in a nursing. He's the same age as I am. He's in a nursing home now. He did himself harm. And that very Lord's Day that I talked to him, Brother Sam read Psalm 69. You see, there is a place for thinking about our sins. That's verse 21 of our chapter. But you know, when Brother Samuel read these verses in Psalm 69, you know, the thought came to me, we can never afflict our souls like this. Would you read again, Brother, verses 19 of Psalm 69 to 21. Could we ever put ourselves in that position? No matter how much we sat there in the nursing home and worried about our sins, we'd never go down to these depths. We could not say, I looked for some to take pity and there was none. They gave me gall for my food. You know what gall is? It's the bile from the liver. It's dreadfully bitter stuff. I was helping to slaughter a sheep and the brother that was killing the sheep cut it open, reached inside, took something out, and threw it as far as his arm could throw. And he said, this is the gallbladder. If this breaks, the whole meat of the sheep will be ruined. If the dog eats this, he will die. And that's what they gave to the Lord Jesus. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. I could never make myself that miserable. You know, I think my friend, the thought was in his back of his mind, well, if I just get miserable enough, then maybe I can earn forgiveness for God. That's not the point at all. We can never go down this low. And besides, why do we have to knock ourselves down when Jesus went down for us? This is Jesus here in Psalm 69, bearing our sins. You know, my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. Jesus was ashamed to be bearing our sins. He hated those things, and it was a shame for him to be crucified between two thieves. We don't need to go there. He's been there for us. The price has been paid. There is a place in verse 21 of our chapter. There is a place for repenting of sin. We need to come to this point. We all need to come to this point to say, I'm a sinner. I've offended a holy God. But he brings us out of it. You see, verse 21 is not in the Holy of Holies. This is a way off in the desert. The last thing that Aaron does before he releases that goat to the hand of a strong man to take it into the wilderness is to confess their sins. There is a place for us to repent, but it's not here when the bread and the cup are on the table. We repent and we come to the Lord as lost sinners and he saves us. And he's the one here in verse 4 that dresses us with clean, white, shining linen garments. We come here as bought by the blood of Christ, and he also washes us with water so that we're not thinking when we come here to the breaking of bread, oh, so-and-so wasn't kind to me, and I remember my teacher at school wasn't kind, and 50 years ago someone said something unkind to me, and so on and so on. That's not the theme here. We wash our body in water and come into the presence of the Lord. Verse 5. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Now this is very clearly explained in the book of Hebrews. This is not a similarity with Christ, this is a difference. Aaron was a sinner and he had to offer for himself once a year. The Lord never sinned and he didn't have to offer for himself. He offered himself for us. He was both the priest and the offering. Verse 6, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for a scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat, which is the Lord's lot, on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let us go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord. Now, notice here, This is the altar of burnt offering, where they offered offerings for sin. Of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Very interesting. Most of these perfumes were from resins in the desert, or close to the desert. And the perfumer would go to those resins with a golden box and scrape these little perfumes off the trees or bushes, collect them in the box, bring them back to his perfume shop, add them with oil, and in mortar and pestle, grind them small, and then these perfumes would be offered before the Lord in very definite proportions. The weight in the book of Exodus, the weight of each perfume in this perfume was given by the Lord. Now, you and I could be walking and say, I think I smell a perfume. No, I can't smell. I have a cold, maybe I just don't smell. I think I smell a perfume. That would be in the desert. And the perfumer would know which were myrrh and aloes and cassia and frankincense, and he would know to collect them. But if you walked into the perfumer shop while these perfumes were being ground, you would say, oh, how beautiful. What a lovely perfume this is. But here's the third step here, a cloud in verse 13. Let's think about that now. Both his hands were filled with his very special perfume for God. So he couldn't have had the censer in his hand because his hands were full of perfume. It must have been hanging around his wrist. And when he came before the mercy seat, before the Lord, he would have to put that on the fire. And then the cloud would fill the whole Holy of Holies. No one would come into the Holy of Holies. Of course, they couldn't anyway. But suppose that we could and say, I think I smell perfume. I mean, this was a cloud before the Lord. Now, let's think about that. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was beauty there. Even the angels of heaven came to worship him. But then, as he was mistreated and abused and insulted, even by his own disciples, it only showed more of his perfume, of his faithfulness and loveliness. The disciples said, Lord, it's getting dark. Send the multitude away. And when he spoke, they said, Lord, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? A lady came to the Lord, and she was calling after him. And they said, send her away, she's calling after us. When did the disciples understand what he said? He told them that he was going to die and rise again. And when he died, they were totally mystified. And they didn't know that he would rise again. They didn't understand who he was. Now, Peter did, had a glimpse here and there of who he was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But a few minutes later, the Lord had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't understand the things of God. You're thinking about the things of men. And as he was like perfume in a mortar and pestle, it only showed his kindness in this life. But when did the cloud go up to God? At the cross. Brethren, if we leave the cross out of any aspect of our lives, we're missing that cloud of perfume. When did Jesus say, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing? It was when he was nailed to the cross. Now, perhaps someone can tell us about a trial they had in their lives. But they usually tell after everything's over, not while it's happening. Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing, while it was happening, while he was nailed to the cross. And the fire only brought out the beauty of Christ's love. He spoke 7 times from the cross and said, it is finished. His last words were, Father, into your hand I commend my spirit. Humbly gave his life to save us from our sins and to give us all the blessings that we find in this chapter. You know, there were four, actually I don't know in verse 12, exactly the composition of this perfume. It's not mentioned here, but it is mentioned in other places. There were 4 perfumes that were blended together in the art of the perfumer for this incense. by weight. Now, some of us in this room are too generous, and some of us are too careful with our money. Some of us are too truthful, and some of us are not truthful enough. We need to speak up the truth, and we let it pass. Some of us talk too much, and some of us talk too little. Some of us work too hard and hurt our own health, and some of us don't work enough, and people think we should do more. None of us are perfect. Suppose that any husband and wife here, no matter how long you've been married, suppose that some needy person comes to your door, and I forbid you to talk to each other. And I say, now write out on a piece of paper how much money you think you should give to this person, or food, or whatever. You know, we have to talk about these things to come to an agreement, even as an assembly. I remember when I was a teenager in the assembly in Canada, that some brother would say, I think we should send $300. And another person would say, I think we should send $100. We have to talk about these things to come to an agreement. But here in verse 12, we have absolute perfection. The Lord never made a mistake, even in the emphasis. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we have the same words repeated three times. That's not a mistake. God never says things too many times or too few. If God tells us something three times, it's because we need to hear it three times. If God tells us something about something once, it's because we need to hear it once. And here in verse 12, we have perfection, absolute perfection. That bread, when it's broken, that we share on Lord's Day morning, we are sharing in absolute perfection. He gave his life for us, and he never made a mistake. A cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. There's 7 days in the week. God made that. There's seven double blessings in 2 Peter chapter 1. There's seven blessings in John 3:16. There's seven spirits of God, seven horns and seven eyes, and on and on and on and on. They circled the city of Jericho seven times. Seven is God's number. And here we find he is sprinkling with his finger this blood. Now, he must have had it in some kind of a golden chain on another pan or something from his other wrist, because both of his hands were filled with incense. And so he took that and sprinkled it seven times. You see, what God values is the blood of Christ. I've never seen the blood of Christ. I've never seen the cross. I've never seen either heaven or hell, but God has. And we know these things by faith. We trust God by faith. God values the blood of Christ, and we should too. We sang a hymn this morning, and if I remember correctly, it hallelujah four times. And that's okay. That's fine. If we sing the same hymn next Lord's Day, that's fine. In fact, either last Lord's Day or 2 weeks ago, we sang a hymn that had hallelujah, I think it was 10 times. That's okay. We can sing it again. God never gets tired. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. God never gets tired of the perfections of Christ, and we never should either. How should we walk in this door at 9 o'clock Sunday morning with both hands filled with the perfections of Christ? No room for anything else in our hands but this. Notice verse 12, sweet incense, beaten fine. Now, how many people say, I don't want to go to the breaking bread. It's like a funeral. I don't have time for that. But there is a sweetness there. There is a beauty there. There is a perfection when we consider God's love for us. We won't find it in ourselves. You know, if I spend time thinking right inside here about myself, there are two possibilities, and they're both wrong. One is I might say, what a terrible sinner I've been, and make myself miserable. And that's wrong, because God wants us to focus here on sweet incense. The other possibility is I think about things I did for the Lord and say, well, I'm a good Christian. And that's nothing but pride, and God doesn't want that either. And that's what God had to break in Job, was his pride. He wasn't behaving badly, but his heart was filled with pride. That's what God had to break in Peter. And Peter had to sin to break his own pride. So, brethren, let's not spend time, now that we're purchased by the blood of Christ and we belong to Christ, let's not spend time looking in here, because good does not dwell in here. Good is in Christ. And so he sprinkled it seven times. Let us never be tired of that seven times. Let us spend time thanking the Lord for his goodness to us. And the foundation stone of all that goodness is the cross of Christ. Verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. So he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall no man be in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. God wants to live among his people. Exodus chapter 29, the last verse, I think it's the last verse. Exodus chapter 29, verse 44. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I brought them up out of the land of Egypt so that I could live among them. God couldn't live among his people in Egypt, beaten by their taskmasters and slaves. He brought them up so that he could be with them. God is love. And when we really love someone, we want them to live with us. We don't just want to visit them once in a while. When we really do love someone, we would be happy if they were with us all the time. We never want to be separated from them. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Now here's the only day from verse 6 to 8, the only day in creation where it doesn't say that God saw that it was good. He said that seven times, and because it's omitted here, it's repeated twice on another day. This is separation of God from his people. Well, there were no people yet, but this is a prophecy of the separation of God from his people. And what verse 4 says is not repeated here. God wants to be with us. He loves us. God is love. He truly and deeply and sincerely loves us. And he wants us in his home for all eternity, not just for a visit, for all eternity. You see, God is love. Now, we can love some people, and we're very happy when they come for a visit, and happy when they go. We don't cry when they leave. We say, well, thank you very much for coming again. As soon as you have time, come again. And if they turned around and say, well, we'll just stay now, we won't leave now. Well, that wasn't what I was thinking. But you see, we're not love. We can love, we can love. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. But there are other things in our hearts as well. We get tired, and we need to look after other things. But God is love, and we will be with him for all eternity in heaven. Why does God so much desire that children should be born? Why are children spoken of in the Psalms as a gift from the Lord? Because they can be in heaven with him for all eternity. These are the objects of God's love. You see, God is self-sufficient in everything else except love, and he must have objects for his love. And throughout all of past eternity, God had the purpose of us being with him. We were talking about this in the jail yesterday, and I asked one of the prisoners, why? And he said, because God loves us. I said, well, are you saved? I said, you don't belong here. He said, no, I don't. I used to be saved, and if I was saved, then I still am. But, poor fellow, shut in a room for 23 hours a day, 7 days a week. 1 hour he can come out, but he can't see the sky. Just come out and walk around for 1 hour, and then he has to go back in again. And, you know, we read the Bible, and he just read just as if he was talking. I said, you don't belong here, reading the Bible like that. And he knew verses like that. And he told me what it was that knocked him down. You see, God is love, and he made us in his own image. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. He made us in his image to be his friend. And 1 John chapter 1 says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God has made us so that we can understand what friendship is. We can understand that we will not be happy being alone. Even in physical things, we need friends to be happy. I spent all day yesterday in the jail, and I asked one of the prisoners, he said, I don't believe in anything. I said, well, tell me, what would make you happy? He said, money. Friends? No, I don't need friends. As long as I have money, I'd be happy. There he was again in this tiny little cell. I said, but God has made us to be friends and to need friends. Not me. Well, so I made an imaginary situation. I said, suppose that I had a lot of money. And I said, look, I'll buy you a house. And I'll stock it up with food. And you'll have a stove and a refrigerator and everything you can spend under one condition, that you'll live there alone and never have any visitors. I'd be happy. I could not wake that poor boy up, no matter what I said. I can't do the experiment, but God loves us. He truly and deeply and eternally and infinitely loves us. And he gave his Son to redeem us so that we could be with him for all eternity, so that he could live here among his people, a sinful people, a rebellious people. He was covered here by curtains, beautiful curtains with colors in them. He was covered by this cloud of incense, and so that he could dispense to his people what we really need, and that is mercy. Let's pray. Our loving Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. Lord, perhaps there's someone here who's outside still and could be outside for all eternity. Touch their heart, Lord, that they would turn to you and be saved. And touch our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we would value our blessings in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.